I want to encourage you this morning to have your Bible open to the book of Titus. Titus, and we're going to look at several verses from this book as we are in our study this hour, continuing our theme of being zealous for good works. We're going to talk about helping others, being zealous for helping others. As we have been involved in this series, we have been using Titus 2, verse 14, that last phrase of that verse, as our verse to use in our study. Spent the first part of this series talking about zeal and what zeal is. If you remember, zeal is that great enthusiasm, that great energy that we have pointed towards something. It comes from, in our New Testaments, it comes from the Greek word zelos, which means to be hot, to heat. And I've asked you all through this series to, when you think of zeal, think of fire. Think of that fire. We've talked about fueling that fire, protecting that fire. Now we're talking about channeling that fire in the right direction, looking at a number of different things. This morning we're going to be talking about being zealous in helping others. Being zealous, pointing that zeal, that enthusiasm, that fire, that passion towards helping those around about us who are in need. As I said, we've been using Titus 2 verse 14 as our verse through this series. I want us to go back to the context where this verse is found. Paul writes to Titus, who gave himself for us, that is talking of Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This admonition to be zealous for good works is found in a book that was written about a people who greatly needed this admonition. If you back up to Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking." So here we learn that Titus is doing the work of an evangelist on the island of Crete. That was a populated island in the Mediterranean Sea. And he was there to set in order the things that are lacking. And we continue reading the verse. It says, "And appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." That's the first item that's up on his list as far as doing what he has to set things in order. But that's not the only thing he's instructed about. There are other things that pertain to setting the church in order. If you look down at verse 12, chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul lets Titus know that he is aware of the fact that he is laboring among some very difficult people to labor with. He says, verse 12, Titus 1, verse 12, "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" He's telling Titus, these are the people you're working with. I know these are the kind of people that you're working with. And here, one of their own has said this about them. So it's not this is a reputation, this is something the outsiders say about them. This is what they acknowledge about themselves, that the people on the island of Crete are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. We know that that won't work in the life of a Christian. So what Titus was doing there is he was teaching these people of the island of Crete, as they heard the gospel and accepted the gospel, they had to repent, and repentance demanded that they come out of this old lifestyle that they've adopted from their ancestors, and they've got to live a different way. Notice that last phrase, lazy gluttons. The people on the island of Crete, they had a trend, they had a characteristic, they were lazy. They were lazy, and so, in Titus 2 and at verse 14, Paul says that Christ has saved us to be zealous for good works. And then starting here at this verse, I see a shift in the focus of this epistle. If you go down to chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul writes and says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." We're to be zealous for good works. What does that mean? That means be ready to do good works. Titus, you tell them, be ready for every good work. Be prepared to be involved in doing good works for others. just 7 verses later, chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, Paul says. And it's interesting, you read 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, Paul uses that phrase a number of times in those books. This is a faithful saying. This is true. You can hang your hat on this. There's no doubt this is true. This is right. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. You keep preaching this message. You keep pounding away at this point that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. The Christians there on the island of Crete, do you believe in God? Yes. Well, then here's what you do. You be careful to maintain good works. You make it a priority in your life. And you know what we do here 2,000 years later on the other side of the globe? Do you believe in God? Then be careful to maintain good works. That's a responsibility the gospel places before us. And we are to be careful to maintain those good works. Let's be zealous about that. Let's keep it up. And then look at the last sentence here in this verse. For these things are good and profitable to men. As you study the Scriptures, you learn that the religion of the true and living God has always been a religion that is beneficial to mankind at large. If more of us would study the Scriptures, learn the truth of the Scriptures, and live that truth in our lives, more people would benefit, wouldn't they? Well, that's certainly true here regarding good works. If we would, there'd be more of us who would be careful to maintain good works, who would make it a priority in our lives, who would channel our zeal in that direction, it'd be good and profitable for men. You go to almost the end of the book, Paul has one more thing to say about this before he brings this short epistle to a close. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. I like the New American Standard Version. Most of the time I use the New King James Version. But I like the New American Standard Version with this verse. It says, our people must also learn. Let's pause right there. Learn. We've got to learn to do this. Now, it comes natural to some. You and I know people that doing good for others, it just comes natural to them. We can probably think of their names right off. The rest of us, we've got to learn to do it. The Scriptures don't teach, if it doesn't come natural to you, then it's not for you, and let someone else do it. No, here's something we've got to learn to do. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. The reason I like the New American Standard rendering here is because it rhymes. We've got to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs. All we have to do is look around about us, and we can see people who are in need. When we talk about helping others, we're not talking about doing good for our friends. We're not talking about keeping that cycle going where I do something good for you and you do something good for me. And that we need to be doing that. That happens among friends. What we're talking about here is seeing a need and filling that need. Seeing someone who is in need and doing what we can to help. We need to be zealous for doing that. We need to make that a priority. We need to learn to engage in those good deeds, to keep that work going, because there are always pressing needs. We need to be fruitful in the way we serve our Lord. As you look at the book of Titus, it's a very short epistle. But starting in chapter 2 and at verse 14, 4 times in 17 verses, the Apostle Paul says, do good deeds for others. There's a theme for the book of Titus. I know the book of Titus is written to a preacher, and a lot of times that's the way we're going to look at 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. But there's another way, there's another handle that you can put on the book of Titus. That you will find it very useful for you if you're not a preacher. And that is, the book is talking about doing good for others. So it's a very practical book for all Christians, not just for preachers. Last week, we pointed our attention toward the early church as an example of zeal in evangelism. And indeed, we need to be looking to the early church. We need to be looking to what they were doing under the supervision of the apostles there in the book of Acts. But there was something else that they were zealous about in the book of Acts. It wasn't just evangelism. When I read the book of Acts, I see a church there that is very much involved and very zealous about doing good for others. In Acts chapter 2, we're not going to put the verses up on the slides. We're going to turn in the book of Acts and look at these verses because some of them are too long to put up on the slides. Acts chapter 2, this is after the church has first been established. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45 says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." What were they doing? They were doing good to help those who were in need. What do we have here? We have all who believed. Who was that? Well, that was the 120 that started out in chapter 1, and add to it the 3,000 who have just been baptized into Christ. So you got 3,120. They're all together. They're spending time together. They are devoting themselves, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, verse 42. Here they are, this group of individuals, and when needs arise, they are quick to take care of those needs. You look in chapter 4. In chapter 4, in verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul." So here the church has grown. It's gotten even larger. But unlike what you would expect in a large group where people are separated from each other, they're united. They are one heart. They are one soul. And it says, "Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." You look down at verses 34 and 35. "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." What do we have here? Do we have Christ-sanctioned communism here? Some, I guess, have tried to make that argument that Christians shouldn't own private property, but instead, if you're in the church, you need to liquidate all that and give it to the church, and the church will make sure everybody has an equal amount. That's not what is happening here. What's happening here? You back up to chapter 2, where this church first began. Chapter 2, verse 5 says that there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout Jews, men from every nation under heaven. These devout Jews, these serious, devoted Jews, wherever they lived in the world, they would take the money and the time to travel to Jerusalem every year for Passover and would stay the 50 days for Pentecost and then go home. Well, here are devout Jews who have made this trip. They're far away from home. They've got enough money to see them through that 50 days. They've waited till Pentecost, and here Pentecost is present. When Pentecost is over, they got enough money to get them back home. Well, 3,000 of them aren't going home. 3,000 of them have learned the gospel, they've obeyed the gospel, and they're going to stay in Jerusalem so they can learn more about their new faith and be grounded in the faith. But you know what? Eventually that money runs out. They don't have those funds anymore, so some of them come to be in need. What are they going to do? The members step up and take care of that matter. Those who had lands and houses sold them, and they brought the proceeds and they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles made sure that there was no need. It's here in chapter 4, this section, starting at verse 32 through the end of the chapter, where we're introduced to Barnabas as one of the individuals who does this. And then going into chapter 5, we've got Ananias and Sapphira who lied about the amount that they were giving to the Lord, and we know what happened to them. You go outside of Jerusalem, as the gospel spreads, the church spreads, we come to Joppa in Acts chapter 9, and we read of a Christian woman there named Dorcas. Acts chapter 9, verse 36, "At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha," which is translated Dorcas. "This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to know about this woman. She is a Titus 2 verse 14 Christian. She's zealous for good works. She's full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. Charitable, helping those who were in need. She wasn't just doing good for her friends. She was doing good to help those who were in need. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. He walks into that upper room, and it's filled with those who were recipients of her charitable deeds. And they're showing evidence of it. Here's what she made for us while she was with us. I want to suggest you, and strongly suggest you, that they weren't showing off Dorcas's crocheting habit. You know, she just liked to crochet things, and she made these things for us, and this was a great hobby that this woman had. No. These were widows. Widows in that day and time were those who did not have any means of support. They were in need. And they're showing off their clothes. That it's kind of hard for us to grasp that, to understand the significance of that, because we can gather up money. If we need clothes, we can gather up money and we can go to Walmart or we could go to Goodwill and we could get some clothes pretty easily. You couldn't do that in the first century. Clothes were very valuable. You didn't just get clothes. So here were some individuals who needed clothes, and here's a woman who made clothes for them. What was she doing? She was being zealous for good works. And the Scriptures honor her for this. We know her name. We remember her because she was zealous for good works. She was zealous about helping others. One more example I want us to see in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, here the gospel has spread to Antioch of Syria. Here is a church that is outside of Palestine, outside of Israel, and it's made up primarily of Gentiles. But this is where Barnabas was sent to, and he does a good work there, and he goes and gets Saul of Tarsus and brings him over, and Antioch of Syria becomes their home congregation. This is the congregation from which the Apostle Paul started all of his missionary journeys. I want you to read here with me, Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Here, these Christians in this church way up north of Judea, mostly Gentiles, they're told by a prophet that their brethren in Jerusalem are going to fall on hard times. And what do they do? Well, the elders up there, they decide that they're going to send some money from the treasury, and they're going to send it to some group that's going to make sure that everybody gets a little extra food. No, that's not what happens. The disciples, the individual members, dug into their pockets. And each according to their ability, they contributed funds, and those funds were carried down and given to the elders of the church in Jerusalem so that they could be given to the saints who were in need. What did they do? They put Titus 2:14 into action. They were zealous for good works. They did what they could to help other people. So we are looking at the book of Titus, and we see that there's a different handle we can put on that book. We need to be doing good for others. We see that the instructions that were given to Titus to be taught to the churches on Crete is simply what the church in Jerusalem started out practicing before. And that's what we need to be practicing as individual Christians as well. We need to be doing good to others. So in the 3 minutes that we have left, what are some good works that we can be doing for others? What are some things that we need to be thinking of, that we need to be ready to do for others? We know evangelism is a good work. Saving someone's soul, you can't get much better than that. We've already talked about that. We're going to talk about encouraging others, praying for others, helping those who are sick or grieving. We're going to talk about that in lessons coming up. So we won't mention that in this list, but I don't want you coming up to me afterwards saying, prayer is a good work. Yes, it is. We're going to talk about it next week. But what are some things that I do want to bring to your attention here that would constitute a good work, something that all of us can do to help those who are in need? Well, let's be like Dorcas. We can buy things or we can make things for people who need them. And while most of the people we know may not be in need, we come into contact with people who are. We know people who are. We can be using the things God has blessed us with to help those who are in need. How about someone who's not able to clean their house for a while? Not able to shovel the snow off their driveway? Not able to do some yard work? Maybe that's temporary. Maybe that's permanent. That's a good work that we can do for others. Helping someone fix things around their house. Maybe helping someone get their car fixed or running again. There are some of us that don't know the first thing about doing that kind of stuff. But there are others who do. Use that knowledge and help those who are in need. How about when someone goes out of town? Maybe you can house sit for them. Maybe you can get their mail while they're gone. Watch their pets while they're gone. That's a good work that's needed. And sometimes those needs come very quickly. Something happened to some of our members just this week, and now they're gone to the other side of the country. Perhaps they need some help with some things that they've left behind here. Signing up for a meal list when someone is sick or in need of that. Giving money to the flower fund when that runs low. Those are good things that we can do. Sharing the produce out of your garden or flowers out of your garden to give to those who are in need. Watching children for younger couples. That's an important work. That's a good work. Not every young family lives close to grandparents who can watch children while the young husband and wife go out on a date and they're by themselves for a while. That's important. So maybe they could use some surrogate grandparents who could step in and watch their children for a while. How about Titus 2, 3 through 5, the older women teaching the younger? Who are the older women here at Knollwood who are doing this work? It's something that is needed. And the younger women need to be receptive to this work with a good heart, with a tender heart. But that's something that needs to be done. Giving rides to appointments. There's always a need for that. Helping those who are caring for loved ones. I didn't realize how important that was until I had to help my mom take care of my dad this past year. You're doing an incredible amount of good. Just giving someone an hour. Giving someone an hour to get away from that responsibility to take a break. Hosting a get-together or a singing or a game night in your home. I realize in the pandemic, that's not real high up on your list. But that is a good work. That is something important to do. And I know members here who do that. We need more of that. We need to be spending time together. Helping newcomers to the area get settled in. There's a lot involved in moving. There's a lot of work that's involved there. And if you've never had to do it, or you've never had to do it on your own, there's a lot there, and help is always appreciated. Or the other side of that, someone who's moving away. We might think, you know, if they're going to move away from us, they don't need any of our help. Well, yeah, they do. They do. So there's something that we can do. We can go and help them. If you're interested in that, you need to see Brody and Hannah. Be a listening ear to those who are struggling. Just being that person that someone can talk to for a little while. You might not realize how much good that can do. Helping people find legal help or financial advice. Again, maybe you're not good at housework. Maybe you're not good at fixing a car. There are times when we need legal help. There are times when we need some financial advice. And if we're able to steer someone in that direction to help, that's a great amount of help. I'm not talking about helping them financially. I'm talking about helping them to know what they need to do with their finances. Do you know a good lawyer? We all do. We all do. Let's be that help, because there are times when that kind of help is needed. I'm sure there are other things that you can add to this list. Our time is quickly running away. There are a lot of good, practical things that you and I need to be doing to help those who are in need. There's a point I want to make as we draw this study to a close. Each and every one of us has been richly blessed by God, not just spiritually, but also physically. Now, what God wants is for you and I to be good stewards of His blessings. And passages like Matthew chapter 25 teach us that God is watching us. He's watching us to see what kind of stewards we are of the things that He has blessed us with. And we're going to have to give an account for that one day. So let's take the admonitions that we find in Titus seriously. Let's look at the example of the Christians there in the church, the early church, starting in Jerusalem. And let's follow that example. And let's be zealous for good works that will help other people. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the day, for the hour that we've had to spend studying your word. We're thankful for the many blessings that we receive so freely from you. We pray that you would help us to be good stewards of these blessings, to be zealous about using them to help those who are in need, to be busy about doing this good work, to fulfill the needs of others, and to open hearts and expand the borders of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're dismissed to our classes.